All right, time for the Sunrise Wellness Center report. Sunrise Wellness Center. Let's try it again. Sunrise Wellness Center, li.com. Great info on there. And Dr. Ron Sinagra, listen, he talks about with us what's not reported in the media, which has become essential information. To get a free consultation with a good man, 631-563-1444. The aforementioned Dr. Ronald Sinagra. Sir, how are you on a Tuesday?
Good morning, Jay. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. Lots happening. But yeah, all in all, feeling pretty good.
Is it me, or is the every time we think the world's gone insane, we decide to go more insane? It just never seems to stop.
You know that. Nonstop, as I always say.
I don't remember. Was it always this way, or are we just more aware of it now? There's just too much media.
No, it was never like this.
And we got 24-hour access.
Look at the storylines. They come at you at every angle, every minute, every day, you know? It's the intensity of everything is just elevated to a point now where we've never seen anything like this, these news cycles.
Yeah, it's truly remarkable. Truly remarkable. I almost feel, Jay, that it almost feels like this, like the man behind the curtain pulling the strings. Like if the narrative starts to move one way, then another event seems to happen. Almost like someone's, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to come across as someone who sounds like a nut job, but it just seems like some of these events seem like almost like someone's making them happen. It just seems like like someone's pulling the strings. It just drives me. I just can't figure it out. Can't comprehend it.
I know you want to talk about osteoporosis here, but the U.S. Yeah. passed 1 million deaths from COVID yesterday. Number could actually be a little bit higher, but give me your take on that.
Let's talk about something better than the news. Let's talk about osteoporosis. Hey, I want to. New research is pretty good. We're rethinking osteoporosis, and because some of the new studies have shown some pretty insightful things about it. And I want to explain to the listeners so they understand. Bone fracture is a major problem, and it's a major disability for the older segments of our population. And osteoporosis is, by definition, characterized by a decline in bone mineral density. That's the real technical definition. So I want to explain how bones are made in a real simple way. So I want everyone to just imagine a honeycomb. And if you take if you imagine a honeycomb and picture a honeycomb shaped as a bone, so it would be very light and airy, and you could see right through it. That's the skeleton of our bones, that honeycomb shape, and we call that the matrix. And the matrix of our bone is basically made out of collagen, and it's there to now support the mineral deposits that we're going to fill it with. And we fill it with 66% calcium and 33% collagen. And that makes our bones incredibly light, but very, very strong. So kind of like when we see some of these, new things that we build in society, we make them out of carbon fiber and we use honeycombs, structures in between. We're mimicking human bone when we do that. So osteoporosis is when the density of those minerals inside the bone actually start to decline to the point where the bone can no longer sustain a very strong weight load, and then we start to get fractures common. But what the new research is showing is that age itself is more of a stronger predictor than bone mass density loss. So we didn't think that. We didn't realize that age itself was a bigger problem than just losing that bone mass density. And that comes from just lack of muscle activity, changes in the bone cell due to age, falls, the diet changes that happen as we age. Remember, modern man, and I found this very interesting when I was researching this, and we as modern men are facing something no primates in nature and no humans, you know, from hunter-gatherer and beyond in the past had to face. And that's called longevity. You know, our society, we provide food, we provide safety from predators, we provide crisis care from infection, we have controlled environments of heating and cooling, all the things that normally would kill a primate or lead to the death of early man. We've got that covered. So now we're dealing with something and that is not known in nature. Longevity, senior citizens. So we're starting to see illnesses that are come from age that we really genetically would not have if we were just living in a natural environment. So I found that very interesting when we looked at it. So when we look at the aging process, there are things that we can do to help ward off the aging process or the loss of bone density and some of the effects on our bone structure. And the biggest thing that affects bone loss is the decline in our sex hormones. When I was in school, and I remember the instructor when I was doing classes on menopause, which is the decline in female sex hormones, and andropause, which is the decline of sex hormones in males. And the teacher said, "You want to see where Eve gave Adam the apple?" And we're like, "What?" And he shows you right in your mid to late 30s, early 40s. And then as the decline starts in our sex hormones is when the decline of all our other organs and systems slowly starts over the next 30 to 40 years in our lifespan. So the our sex hormone levels have a lot to do with our health, and especially with bone. So decline in male and female sex hormones drives bone loss. And for a woman, it's really, really paramount because estrogen that's produced in a woman's ovaries blocks something called parathyroid hormone. Now, parathyroid hormone is produced in the parathyroid hormone gland, and parathyroid hormone is how our body regulates calcium in the blood. Parathyroid hormone removes stored calcium from the bone, but estrogen blocks it. So we don't ever lose too much. So this is why osteoporosis and bone mass, bone density mass was more severe in women postmenopausal, because when their ovaries start to slow down and stop producing estrogen, they stop blocking parathyroid hormone. And that's why you see a lot more bone mass density loss in women than you do men. So it's important that we understand this, because nature gave women a parachute, and what happens is when your ovaries shut down, another gland picks up the pace, and it's your adrenal glands. So as a woman's ovary and a woman swings into menopause and her ovaries start to drop off their estrogen production, your adrenal glands kick up estrogen production. Now, it doesn't kick it up to childbearing levels, but it kicks it up enough so you can avoid all the problems of the dramatic menopausal symptoms, also the bone loss, the bone density loss, and allow you to grow old gracefully. But the problem we have in modern society is that many times by the time a woman gets to her 40s, into her early 50s around menopause, their adrenals are fatigued out, shot. And that happens from a lot of reasons. Number one, stress is brutal on the adrenal glands, and our society is just the world we've built on to live in. It's too hectic, it's too chaotic, it's too crazy. There's just too much stress going on. And also, our diets are so poor, we've basically destroyed the human diet. And the increase in simple carbohydrates and the increase in blood sugar completely destroys our adrenal glands, because our adrenal glands respond to blood sugar swings. And when you spike glucose, it doesn't stay high. It crashes. And every time it crashes, you kick your adrenals in. So now we're engaging our adrenal glands all day, besides their normal role of maintaining glucose through the fast of after dinner to breakfast. So what's happening is the system that's designed to protect women from parathyroid hormone ravaging their bones is their adrenal glands. And in our society, many women, by the time they get into their 40s, their adrenals are so fatigued, they don't have any estrogen being, or they have a greatly reduced amount of estrogen. And I find that pretty fascinating.
COVID-19 hit 1 million deaths yesterday, doctor. Listen, everything you're saying
where are you going with this segue?
Well, you know, you're talking about estrogen and osteoporosis. You know, it's an interesting conversation. It really is. And very important.
Are you really going into COVID-19? Okay.
I just wanted to get your take. That's all. You had a million deaths yesterday. You're talking about estrogen and ovaries and osteoporosis. It's all very important stuff.
Because it's a health segment.
I get it. But I, you know, as knowledgeable, right, listen to me, as knowledgeable a guy as you are.
Plenty of time. Let me give people the supplements that can help.
Right, let's get back to the ovaries.
Oh, my Lord. That was priceless. enough about me. What can we do to help your body to prevent bone loss? The first thing we got to do is you got to get your blood sugar under control. And really, if we've got belly fat, you got to get rid of your belly fat. You've got to stay trim, get rid of insulin resistance, and lower your blood sugar. You have to repair your adrenal glands, especially if you're a female. And exercise. Putting resistance training with weights. When you put a weight load on a bone, it absorbs calcium. So one of the greatest things you can do is lift weights or do some kind of resistance training, exercise. You need to move your body. You know, a lot of seniors, if you look, you know, you'll go into the diner at 4 o'clock and you'll catch them, you know, the blue plate specials. And the seniors, they're very rotund. They've got the big bellies and they're eating lots of carbohydrates. And that is a disaster waiting to happen. You know, not exercising, staying on the couch, overeating carbohydrates. Our senior population and their lifestyle leads to chronic inflammatory conditions and leads to osteoporosis and Alzheimer's, diabetes, and all kinds of other issues. So the supplements that are really helpful in strengthening your bones are, of course, number one is vitamin K. There's two types of vitamin K, vitamin K1 and vitamin K2, but they help bone metabolism and they maintain calcium in the bone. And you can buy a supplement that has vitamin K1 and vitamin K2 in it. The other two are boron and silica. Boron helps the bones grow and prevents calcium loss, and silica helps with the 33% of our bones that are made of collagen. Silica helps rebuild the collagen. Very important. And then there's vitamin D and calcium, of course. You know, is there anything vitamin D doesn't do? If we learned anything through this pandemic, it's the importance of vitamin D on the immune system. It's important for bones. So vitamin D with, 1,000 milligrams of calcium a day, very important. And zinc and magnesium, too. 15 to 30 milligrams of zinc and 500 milligrams of magnesium. If you do that and those other things, you could prevent a lot of problems that seniors fear with, bone density loss and fearing fractures. How'd I do, Jay? Was that okay? Did we discuss osteoporosis and bone loss?
As always. And by the way, everything's on the website, Sunrise Wellness Center, LI.com. Listen, the old folks have to adhere to some of this stuff. See, that's the biggest problem. And that's why a fall and a break of a hip and everything else. Go ahead.
Now, what's going on with your 100% safe Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
Well, who said that was 100%? That was 79%, one shot. What are you talking about?
Well, what do you mean? I would like your opinion on that. No, I'm breaking.
You want my opinion on the efficacy of the vaccines in general?
No, I'm talking about the Johnson & Johnson shot. Remember when they took it off the market for a little bit?
Are you talking about the myocarditis incidents, the clotting and everything else?
Yeah, the clotting stuff. But they had problems with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. This is what just annoyed me and really frustrated me. So they take it off the market for 3 weeks.
But here's the thing.
And then they put it back on. What changed? And now we have another problem with it again. So I have an issue with the FDA and some of the big pharma companies, because if you look at who, you know, some of the leaders who are people that are running the FDA, when they leave the FDA, they get jobs in the vaccine divisions of pharmaceutical companies. And that's not a conspiracy theory. That's just known. So, you know, it seems like a lot of that, they're not, I just don't know if they can be objective. I mean, what changed completely that they put the Johnson & Johnson back on? So now people go, okay, you took it off, it's safe, now I'm going to get the shot, and now, 5 months later, he comes out, oh, by the way, it's a problem. That's a little disturbing for me.
Let me ask you, was it a problem with the Moderna and the Pfizer at 93, 94% efficacy? Is that a problem or no? Is that a line of protection? For those who have received Moderna or Pfizer on the shots, is that a line of protection in your estimation?
Yes or no? Yes, absolutely.
No doubt. There you go.
But my point is, but that's not what we're talking about.
You're talking about the J&J shot.
Did you get yelled at in class in school for not listening to the teacher?
I know what you're talking about. But here's the thing. It's a 79% efficacy rate. Yeah, there have been some issues. But look at the number of people who received the J&J shot and the number of incidents involved off that shot regarding clotting and heart inflammation. I mean, it is minuscule as far as the number of folks who received the overall J&J shot. No?
I don't know about that.
I do.
You know, it could be.
It is minuscule.
When the J&J shot warning came out again, I'm like, wait a minute, this is the same problem that you guys had originally. What made you put it back on the market, and what made you think something was different? But, you know, it's very hard now because, you know, we've discussed censorship a lot, and one of the things that my prediction is there's a lot of things about the vaccines that we don't know and that are not being allowed to be put out there. And I think we may see that in the future, that some of these things that we just, I don't know if we're getting 100% of the picture. And that's just my opinion. Now, could I be wrong? Of course I could be. But, you know, it just seems sometimes there's no drugs or procedures without negative side effects.
Listen.
And sometimes if you come out and say something about a vaccine that they censor you. So I don't even know if we're having fair exchange of information is my point.
Listen, here's the thing. You're a skeptic, and that's okay. But you see, the problem is that a lot of people out there have been fed misinformation. That is never going to convince people on the fence to get the shot, you know? And you know, it's the same thing when we talk elections, you know, negativity and everything else. That never helps anything, okay? I mean, just look what is happening in a big primary today, by the way, in the state of Pennsylvania, you know, where you have candidates going at each other, and then you have one that has now surged in Kathy Barnett over McCormick and Dr. Oz, by the way. So, you know, it's an example.
Yeah, but don't you think
censorship
feeds into that?
The inclination to me has always been to show others that, you know, we care about that. It's not to win an argument. It really isn't. When you and I battle over this stuff, it's not to win an argument.
Yeah, but let me ask you something. We had Dr. Peter McCullough and we had Dr. Robert Malone come out and say some negative things about vaccines. and they got blackballed and banned. And these guys are very competent. So here's my point. Whenever you come in, that feeds people's conspiracy theory ideas. When you don't allow free exchange of information, when they started censoring people that anything that came out about vaccines that wasn't positive, and there's no drug or procedure that's 100%. So the
of course.
So when any doctors came out and immediately were censored and removed, that fed the fire, Jay. That got everybody going, wait a minute, whoa. What are you doing here? Why aren't you letting these guys speak? And I think that they hurt themselves because they were afraid it was going to be misinformed. In science, you know, there's misinformation is a very, very, there's always differences of opinion. Now, is a different opinion
than
misinformation? You know, I mean, I'm sure you have people that are just, you know, they're injecting us with, you know, something so they can throw a switch and turn us into zombies. You know, I'm sure, there's.
But that's what I mean about misinformation, you know? And that's what I mean about distrust in government.
Like, but you know, I just think that whenever you censor opposite opinions of drug companies or opposite opinion of federal policy, that feeds the conspiracy theorists. That feeds everybody, and they're like, "Wait a minute, what do you hold? What if you're not going to be transparent and allow differences of opinion?" I think that's counterproductive.
Listen, I understand what you're saying, but again, it's tone of message, it's everything else. That matters a lot, you know? And the reason why people don't get the shots is there are concern about side effects, the newness of the shot. Distrust in government is key, you know? Listen, whatever the case may be.
Like our government's been dishonest to us prior. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, when we look back to things that the government did, or has done to the population itself and the misinformation. I mean, you can go back to weapons of mass destruction. You can go back to, you know, some of the other things in healthcare. You can go back to the CIA, doing drug experiments on soldiers without their knowledge. Our government's done some treacherous, evil things to its own citizens.
Let's not go that far. You know, the government didn't do anything wrong when they had Operation Warp Speed. They didn't under the Donald Trump administration. You know, think about that.
They
got the medicine out rather quickly. And
no,
listen,
that was a very good thing that they did. It was a very good thing that they, look. Sometimes the government does really good things for the people. It's not a bad thing, but sometimes they don't. Hey, who's going to win the PA? Who's going to win the Pennsylvania race?
You know, I think Oz is in trouble. I really do.
I saw the poll last night. He was in first, believe it or not.
But, yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
You know how polls work.
I know. I just think, though, that there could be something. This Barnett is rising quick, you know. And, you know, this is, I tell you, you got five very important primaries today, you know, including that in Pennsylvania, you know. So that's going to be a very, very interesting
situation. I didn't really
situation.
Follow the PA race that much. I know Trump endorsed Dr. Oz.
Yep.
Well,
listen, he's backed the winners in the Ohio Senate race and in a House primary in West Virginia. His candidate fell a little short in the Nebraska gubernatorial primary. But, you know, really the focus today is on Pennsylvania, and that's where Kathy Barnett has emerged. I mean, she is a major threat now to the Trump-backed Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz. So that's going to be very interesting how that comes about. Very interesting stuff. All's good, my friend. Great stuff as always. You can read
you too, my
it
friend.
All.
And, but we're going to have some interesting politics in the next 5 months.
Absolutely. Go to the website, sunrisewellnesscenterli.com. And don't forget to get a free consult with a good man at 631-563-1444. The Apple. the great one himself, Dr. Ronald Sinagra. Sir, yeah, it's always a pleasure having you.
Speak to you next week, my friend. You have a great
one. All right. Here